I was reading the other day. It's about a painter. Painters. We have painters among us. This was in Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania Department of Transportation hired him. It seems like their mechanical equipment had broken down and they needed someone to paint the white line on the highway. And he was hired. And the first day he painted 8 miles. And the second day he painted 4 miles. And the third day was only 2 miles. And the fourth day was only 1 mile. And the supervisor was really pleased with that first day, but then he finally said to the painter, "What is happening here? You were painting 8, and now you're painting 1. Well, he says, "The more I paint, the farther I get from the paint can." You know, life is easier close to God. The farther you get from the paint can, the more difficult it becomes. Life wasn't meant to be difficult. It was meant to be a blessed fellowship, a creator with his creation, you, me, and God. But somehow it's become very complex, sometimes very difficult, and a lot of times there's a lot of obstruction. And so we've been talking about obstruction or opportunity, and this is part 2. I'm taking this from Romans chapter 5. There's important words here that I want to pick up on. This is beginning in verse 5. "And hope does not disappoint us." Why? "Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." God has poured out his love into my heart. You see, just at the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. Then verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love." There's that word again. "His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And you might even have a translation that says, "while we were still enemies." And if you're a sinner, you are an enemy. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that reconciliation, or the forgiveness that God offers, is God's loving gift to you and me. And it's demonstrated in his love by sending his son. We recognize that because we all know John 3:16. But here's the part that we need to capture. While we were enemies, while we were sinners. In other words, at our worst possible moment, God reached down to save every one of us. Not on our best day, but on our worst day. His love is such, and it's demonstrated in the giving of his own son for his enemies. So therein is a demonstration, because really, if God stood by his rights and applied to us the rigid standard of law, where would we be? Rightfully so, we'd be separated from God and lost forever. God's love makes the difference. God's grace makes the difference. God's initiative makes the difference. The giving of his son makes the difference. So when I look at 1 Timothy 1, and I mentioned this downstairs, but we're going to read it here. In 1 Timothy 1, or Paul is talking about his own life, he has some really good stuff here to share with us. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Now notice, he's in the ministry. He's in the service of God. Does he deserve it? Has he earned it? Does he have a resume that you would use to recommend it? Hardly. Although, look at my resume, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So here's a trustworthy saying. Hang your hat on this hook, he's saying. That deserves full acceptance, everybody. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. While we were enemies, Christ died for us. And I just love these words, poured out abundantly. 1 John says, look at the love that God has lavished on us. Really sit down and give some thought to Christ Jesus coming so that you could be saved. Who are you that you should be called a child of God? It's all by God's mercy and by God's love that this takes place. So when Jesus comes to earth, who am I looking at? I'm looking at God's love personified. If I want to know about God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, God's forgiveness, whom am I going to study? I'm going to look at Jesus. He is Emmanuel. He is God on earth. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so we follow Jesus around as the disciples did. And the thing that comes to mind real quick is that the forgiveness that Jesus offered to those around him was unilateral. There's a nice word. You use it every day, right? They use it in treaties all the time, especially the United States. That means that it's a one-sided thing. Everybody agrees to it, and we pay for it. It's one-sided. Oh, well, anyway, that's politics, right? Anyway, that's where we use the word unilateral all the time, and that means it's really one-sided. Well, that means that Jesus offered it, although the people who received it didn't even expect it. Think of the palsy man. He was lowered to the ceiling. Why was he there? He wanted to be relieved of his palsy. He was there to be healed. What did Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven. He wasn't expecting that. That wasn't something that was on his agenda. His friends didn't say, let's take him down to Jesus so that he can get his sins forgiven. And those around said, whoa, who is this that can forgive sins? That's a big deal. The lady that's washing Jesus' feet and in all of her tears and are falling on Jesus' feet. And she's in Simon's house, the Pharisee, and he's watching all of this. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. She didn't ask for forgiveness. It's unilateral. Did the thief on the cross ask for forgiveness? No, he did not. He said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. I'd like to get there too. But he didn't say, you know, let me confess all my sins. Do you have a moment hanging over there next to me that you can listen to all that I've done in my lifetime so that I can put it before you because I know you're the great forgiver. And while you're on earth, you have the ability and the power to forgive sins. So since you're still alive and you're still awake over there, I want to confess my sins so that you will forgive me. He didn't ask for forgiveness. Well, what did Jesus say? Today you're going to be with me in paradise. Well, you can't get there without forgiveness. Just not going to happen. Unilateral. God's love for for you and me is not dependent on our response, how we accept it or reject it, what we think about it. Because at the very worst possible moment, perhaps when we were the farthest away from God, Christ Jesus died for us. So God's love then, forgiveness, is God's loving gift to you and me. So do you have a gift for God? We like reciprocal gifts. You give me a gift, I give you a gift. I'll give you a little gift, you give me a big gift. I'll give you a miniature Mercedes, you give me a full-grown one. How's that? Gifts, reciprocal gifts. We say, well, I'm not giving them a gift anymore. Why? Well, they never give me anything. Love is like that too, by the way. You like me, I like you. You don't like me, I don't like you either. And if you find something out against me, you're going to use against me, I'll rake and scratch and look in your past and I'll find something of a hammer that I'll use on you. That's the way we deal with people. We're human. And we say, well, you know, we expect that because, and here's these good words, because I'm just human. What God is calling us to do here and be is not just human. It's just divine. And you can't get there by being just human. There's some changes that have got to be made. And we're going to deal with a huge one. But let's just look at it as God's gift. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, our gift to God. Selected verses here so we can move along with time. This is verse 7, 1 John. If we walk in the truth, walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all sins. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place within you. So we need God's forgiveness. We confess to receive God's forgiveness. And then in chapter 2, where this really is at, go to chapter 2. Where are we at there? Am I on the screen? I'm not on the screen. Our gift to the love of God is forgiveness. Go to number 2. Is there a number 2? Technical difficulties. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm in chapter 4. I wanted to get past our sin and confession so that we recognize that we have absorbed the love of God. It's all been abundantly poured out on us. What's our responsibility? What's our love back to God? What does it look like? Okay, chapter 4, verse 7. Another verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. He's the source. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Down to verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us, because God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Down to verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. Anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he who has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. My gift to God is to love the brethren. That's my love back to God, is expressed in my relationship with you and your relationship with me. And that's beautiful because we're the bride of Christ. We're the household of God. We're the big family that belongs to the Lord. We're the children of God. We're children of the King. We're living in holiness because our Father lives in holiness. We love because He loved. And what was His love like? His love was demonstrated in that He gave His Son. So that means that anything negative is an obstruction. I read about, this is a number of years ago, there was an article in the Scotts Bluff newspaper, Nebraska, where my grandson used to work. It was in the sale or trade part of the paper. It says, "We'll trade one white wedding gown, size 14, never worn, for a 357 Magnum." Now there's forgiveness, right? There's love for your brother. I wonder what that's about. You know, someone has said resentment or hatred, and these kinds of things that we harbor, it's like taking poison and waiting for the other guy to die. It eats us up. And it's not what God wants. So right here he commands that we love our brethren. For if we say we love God, the only way you can demonstrate that, the proof of the pudding, is in how you treat one another in the body of Christ. Period. So here's the choice. Number three. There we go. Obstruction. I dealt with this downstairs, so we'll quickly go through this. You were in Sunday school, weren't you? Good. Then you got all this. What's an obstruction? Well, it's the minute someone does something, says something, whatever, that just doesn't quite rest easy with me, and I take exception to it, and I'm hurt by it, and I'm in pain because of it, and I'm angry, and I'm ready to find someone and clock them a good one. I better be a little guy because I don't want to pick on a big guy. I'm kind of choosy that way. My whole world stops. Everything now is centered on that. It's in my mind. It's in my emotions. It's in my heart. And although all the other things of life are still going on, this one thing is just hammering. And I go to church, and yes, I'm worshiping, I'm singing, oh, the mighty love of God, and oh, how I love Jesus. But boy, if I could just get my hands on that one person. But then we say, well, you know, I get over it real easy. Oh, you do. What did you do with it? Did you know we used to have a door right here? Someone took it out and put it over there. That was a door right here. Yeah, you could open this door and stuff it in there. And then slam the door real fast before it gets back out. There, you've dealt with it. Until when? Until that person crosses the line again. And then what happens? The door comes open and everything comes tumbling out. And now we've got not just one thing, we've got two or three or four or five. Or as Peter said, how often do I need to forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus said, try seven times 70. How about 400 and how many is that? 90? Well, you know that Jesus was saying There's no end. There's no limit. There wouldn't be an end or a limit, because if I compare it to the sacrifice that Jesus made on my behalf, there is no limit. There is no boundaries to love and mercy and grace. I'm grateful that no matter what my sin looks like, no matter how horrendous it is, grace is greater than that. Mercy is greater than that. And when God forgives, it's over. And then he says to his people, you forgive just like I forgive. Well, that doesn't mean stuffing it in the closet. We'll talk about next week how to do that. I know it's Mother's Day, and I'll say hip, hip, hooray, yay, mothers. Glad you're having a good day. But we're going to continue with this, just so you know. So the obstruction is simple. One, if I know to do what is right, James 5, verse 17, if I know what is to do what is right and I don't do it, it's sin. In other words, I know what I'm supposed to do. You see, the thing is that here's some things I want to get out of our vocabulary. I can't do it. No, the answer isn't I can't do it. The answer is I won't do it. Because if there's something that God wants you to do, he will empower you to do it. So there's no reason, no rationale for I can't do it. Let's put it right. That's why Jesus said, why do you say, Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do? You don't obey me. Why do you even call me Lord? Well, because I just can't. I'm just human. I just can't. No, I won't. And I need to confess that and release myself to the grace of God and be a different person. Because the answer is I won't. So then he says in Isaiah 59, he simply says, your sins have separated us. I'm not listening to you. He says the same thing in Psalm 33, 1 through 4. He said, while there was sin in my life, there was turmoil inside of me, a heaviness. But once I received God's forgiveness, everything changed. I'm going to let you read those. So there's an obstruction here. What's the difference between an obstruction and an opportunity? You know, all of a sudden you see an ad in the paper and you read up on it. Wow, that's the job of, oh, my lands of Goshen. That's what I've been dreaming about, the dream job. That's an opportunity. And boy, we're really quick to get our resume all in order and get it out there, because here's an opportunity. Well, let me give you something. When the person who has irritated you or sinned against you or hurt you or caused you pain, and whether it's a person or the church, people blame it on the church and off they go and they say, well, I'll just find another church. Well, go find another church, but you haven't removed the obstruction. It went with you. It's not here, it's somewhere else, but you didn't solve anything any more than stuffing it in the closet. We need to face up to these things and see them as an obstruction. So wherein is the opportunity? The opportunity is that when these people are at their worst possible moment, when they've done something that really injures you, it's your supreme opportunity to shine as you've never shined before, to take up the cross as you've never taken it up before, to stand up for God as you've never stood up for Him before, and forgive them. It's the highest achievement in the Christian life. Go for it. And I'll tell you how next week. Better show up, huh? I might have an empty audience. It's your opportunity to demonstrate the real love of God that was abundantly poured out on you. It's your opportunity to freely forgive someone else. It's your opportunity for one thing that you can really mark down. I obeyed God. You can check that off. It's one opportunity that says, I can ensure my own forgiveness because I forgave them. And as I forgave them, God will forgive me. And there's multiple verses on that. And it just means to go the extra mile and be the person of God that you committed yourself to being when you became a Christian and you said, yes, Lord. And if he's Lord, there are no questions, there's no negotiations, there's only obedience. And when the time of forgiveness is when your light can shine the brightest. In Korea, there was a preacher, his story came down to us. This is back right before the Korean War when things were starting to heat up. And there was a little pastor that had a church. It was just a little box church, unpainted church in Sunyan of Korea. And he had his two sons, and they just tried to do the Lord's will and be the missionaries or be the carry on the ministry as the Lord had given them. But they started asking questions, you know, what can we do more? Where are the people that they're not coming to church? What do we need to do differently? And one of the sons says, well, you know, we really need just really keep working. And we need to keep on praying and persevering. And the other son says, well, you know, let me add this one thing. I really think that maybe the people don't believe, really believe, that there's real forgiveness. Maybe they don't really believe our new gospel, that you can really be forgiven. And the father said, well, let's just keep praying and maybe God will show us the way. And it wasn't long after that, the pastor went to visit a leper colony, which he spent a lot of time in this leper colony. And while he was gone, the guerrilla soldiers overran Sunyan, and he came home to find his two sons dead. And in his grief, the government said, we're looking for the ones who did it. And they found one. And they came and they were beside him. They were delighted. We've got the guy. And they took him to court. And he fully confessed. He was one. And the judge is ready to give the sentence, which is death. And a little old voice said, preacher, could I say something? Yeah. He said, you know, I lost my two sons to this man. But by you carrying out the letter of the law and killing him, it's not going to help my grief any. So here's what I propose. I propose that you release him to me and let him take the place of my son and be brought into my family. And I swear before Almighty God, I will treat him as my son. And there was deafening silence in that courtroom, even as there is right here. But that's what God did for you. When you deserved death, he said, I want you to be my child. I want you to be in my family. Can we do less for anyone else? I think not. Father in heaven, we're thankful for these moments. We're thankful that we can, Lord, just take time to enjoy the lavishness of your love and mercy and grace, and reflect upon that and give thanks. For where would we be, Lord, if you exacted the rigidness of law that we rightly deserve? We thank you, Lord, that even in our worst possible moments, your grace was greater, and that you gave your son. and that he demonstrates your love. Lord, I pray that we can demonstrate that same love as we love one another. Lord, if there's any of us that have any obstructions in their life, something between us and the Savior, Lord, that somehow we'll recognize that we need to step up to this. This is not an obstruction. This is an opportunity. This is a blessed time to really shine as a child of God, to express the love we received. We'll love one another. Bless us in all of that, Lord. Forgive us of sin. Give us strength for the weak. May we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.